Ki 120 anu mizmar filu David Shema Hashem tzedek hakshiva rinasi hazina sifilasi beloy sifsei mirma. Question we always ask when we start a new mizmar is who wrote the mizmar? This one is easy. Filo le David, right? So this one is really easy. This one is not called the mizmar. This is called a tefillah. Okay, this is something unique. I don't believe we had this until now. Until now, I don't think we had the word tefillah in Tehillim. It nichtam, mizmar, lamatzeach. It's nice, you know, to get a flavor. Lama Hashem, tamoid. It's interesting, we have all different types of first words to do a study. It'd be a nice topic, nice project to do a study on the first word of every mizmar and analyze the opening word of each mizmar. In any event, this mizmar begins with a unique expression of tefillah, a prayer. And that itself needs a discussion. What exactly is the precise definition of tefillah? Every day we daven three times a day. It's called tefillah shachris, tefillah smincha, tefillah smairis. So is musaf a tefillah? When we daven musaf, do we call it tefillah musaf? I think most of us do. Is that the correct term to define musaf? Is that how it's defined in Shulchan Aruch, Tefilas, the prayer of Musaf? I don't even know. I'm not sure. Tefilas Ni'ilah. Okay, there are different terms. Shachris certainly would refer to the main Tefilas. It's called Tefilas Shachris, Tefilas Mincha, Tefilas Marit. Here we have a Tefilah L'David. Okay, so we have to go take a look and see over here in more detail why the word Tefilah is appropriate for this Mizmar. I call it a Mizmar, because in Tehillim, the 150 sections are all called Mizmoirim. So this is the Tefillah David. Now, what is the topic of discussion, this Mizmar? So as we always discover, there are many opinions. It's, on the one hand, you get a very strong sense when we go through the Mizmar that this is a continuation of Nichtam L'David, where it's describing the Neshama. There are a lot of references to the Neshama, especially the very end. The very end, in fact, is very, very spooky. It's very, very esoteric. Even according to the basic mafarshim, the simple mafarshim, the pashtanim, it's very esoteric. You get a sense that David is dealing with the neshama after it leaves this world, and it's describing events and asking Hashem for protection in the other world, in the next world. Or what happens to the neshama after it leaves the person's body. On the other hand, the beginning of the mizmar does not appear to really go in that way. The beginning of the mizmar seems to be grounded in this world. And what is he describing? So you have a different selection of ideas. We'll read some ideas in the moment inside. But the basic ideas are it's just a general prayer to be spared from David's enemies. David was surrounded by many enemies. So some learn it's general, some learn it's referring to Shaul, going back to the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, where David...
Okay, so what stage of his life?
But then probably the most significant and the biggest, that carries the most weight is David here is referring to the sin of Bathsheba. Now, there's something very delicate about this mizmar that maybe makes it unique, because you always have to ask the question. Everything you learn in Nach, there's a lot of repetition. It seems that everything it's the same thing again and again and again and again. The same ideas. There are enemies, and a person needs to do tshuva, but it's not. It's not the same. There are. It's not even little nuances. There are major differences. One thing which struck me to be very significant is David, to a degree, acknowledged that he did an aver. David, he did something improper with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a married woman, or at least was a married woman, and there was an expectation that her husband would come back, Uriah would come back, and David chapter. He took advantage of a moment. He took advantage. And right now she was not married. Her husband gave her a divorce because her husband was in a state of danger. He did not want her to be an aguna. And therefore, technically speaking, she was a single woman. She was free. And David David took advantage of the situation, and then when David realized he made a mistake, there was a little bit of a cover-up. Okay? It was a cover-up. All of the big people in this world get in trouble, not from the crime, it is the cover-up. Study politics. If politicians would immediately confess to their wrongdoings, it's very likely that many of them would have survived. In hindsight, we look back. It's the cover-up. Watergate. Okay, study Watergate. Where did he go down? Nixon, the cover-up. A lot of politicians. These are all big. When everyone in their own personal lives, a lot of the problems come from America is a very forgiving country. Very forgiving, and the world in general is very people who are willing to immediately say chotosi and acknowledge their mistakes. You know, there are consequences. No one's going to tell you there are no consequences. There's no, there are consequences. There certainly are consequences. But in the big picture of things, there's still hope for a comeback. But when there's lies and denial and cover up, yeah.
Going back to Bathsheba, do we know if she had children?
Before?
Yeah.
She was 3 years old.
Excuse me?
3 years old. I don't think she had children. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. I read it also. It says in one of the freshmen over here.
She was 3 years old.
Why? Rivka was also 3 years old.
But she was something else. This is a regular girl.
There are a lot of tough questions. I don't know the answer. I really don't know. I saw over here a study which I never saw before. It says one of the freshmen says, which is hard to believe, that Uriah never ever lived with Bathsheba. It was almost as if Uri was engaged. They were engaged. Not engaged, they were married, but like they were married, like, you know, it's the Gemara talks about this.
For real.
But then he divorced her. The Gemara talks about that a person's wife is pregnant and he marries off the fetus. And he sees a nice young man. And he says, you know, my wife is pregnant, I like you. I want you to marry my daughter. Can I see her? She's on the way. She's on the way. She's in the oven. And you're 13 years old. You're 16 years old. So no, by the time you're whatever, by the time she's ready, she's 10 years old. So then you'll be whatever, almost 30, whatever it is. It'll be good. Okay, to us it's a criminal, right? This thing is criminal to us. But this was done. This was done. The Gemara says, Harayat, the question is, a person is Mekadosh his daughter when she's not even born yet, is Mekabel Kiddushin. The halacha is a father can be Mekabel Kesef Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter until she is 12 years and 6 months. So the Taisus talks about this. All these different types of funny stories. So it says one of the Mefarshim, I'll read it to you, we'll come to it at some point, is that Uriah never lived with her. Uriah was married to her. I guess that means that Uriah gave money to her father as Kesef Kiddushin. I guess when she was maybe 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 or whatever it was, and they were married, but they never even saw each other. So now David went, now Uriah was on the front lines of battle. And Uriah, the rules were when you go to battle, every man has to give his wife a divorce so that his wife should not be an aguna in case he does not come back from war. He's taken as prisoner and he never comes back. We want to allow his wife to remarry. So it was standard procedure. This is the standard procedure, basic training. A man comes, he's drafted, you're married, where's the divorce? Just in case you don't come back from battle. So it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos.
There is a problem there because it says, "Vayav isha arochetzet alamak."
Oh, okay.
It was not nahara.
Right. I'm with you.
Isha.
I'm with you all the way. There are a lot of problems with this.
Period.
But,
that's
100%. There are a lot of problems with this. So, and also, David, he tells Uriah, "Go to your wife." When Uriah does come back from battle, she was pregnant.
Exactly.
She was pregnant. And
yeah,
she got pregnant.
Your mind.
She got pregnant. Uriah never lived with her. David sees her. David takes her. He's with her. She becomes pregnant. David says, "We got a problem.
Yeah, we got a big problem.
We got a big problem." So David engages in what we would call a cover up. He calls Uriah back from the battle, and he says to Uriah, "Uriah, why don't you go home tonight to your wife? That way, when she'll give birth 9 months later, no one's going to claim it was David, or you came home, or everyone saw, or he was in shul 9 months ago, or you came home, he was in shul for Shacharis. He came home for Shabbos. It was a yeshiva Shabbos. Everyone came home from yeshiva for the week. So therefore, when she'll get pregnant 9 months later, it's because or you came home. Or he says, no way, we're in the middle of war. I don't want, my the general Yoav, he needs me. He needs me on the battlefield. I'm not going home. No way. We're fighting to the end. And he leaves David. So David says, David, we got a problem. We got a problem. He doesn't want to go home. He doesn't want to go home. Therefore, but he solved his own problem because he spoke to me disrespectfully. And therefore he's a moirei b'malchus. So you know what? We're going to kill him. Because he's a moirei b'malchus. So David gives an order, send him to the front lines. I want him to be on the front line. I told you because David knew about being on the front, because David himself his entire life was sent to the front lines to die. Because his father Yishai thought he was a mamzer, and Yishai sent him to the lions, to the forest, to shepherd the sheep in the most dangerous territory, where he should get killed. So David knew all about being sent to the front lines. Instead of getting killed, David comes home every night with the head of a lion. Look what I got today. I got the head of a bear, my head of a lion, head of another wild animal. All these animals, what do they want from me? And David, every single day, he comes home with the head of an animal. And his father looks and says, what is going on? I sent him out to get killed because he's a mamzer. And he comes home, with the head of a lion. What's going on over here? This is not the way it's supposed to be. Little did Yishai know that David was not a mamzer. In any event, David sent Uriah to the front lines, and Uriah was indeed killed.
Why did he think David was a mamzer?
Okay, so this is a different discussion. Another time. But we'll go over that story another time. It's a very famous, I thought it was a famous medish. Another time, we'll review that story. Another time. But here is the point we want to make over this thing, which is very, I think, very, very important. It explains this mizmar. It's a very powerful yisoyin. I think it says in either in the Malba maybe or the Radak. I don't remember. I'll bring it up in a second. And that is David realized incredible insight, incredible, really powerful stuff. David realized he made a mistake. The whole thing obviously was no good. This is not the way to go. This is not the way to do things. You can have all the excuses in the world. Technically, everything can be kedasu kedin. This is not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to go and call this woman to your home, even though technically she never even saw Uriah HaChiti. Even if that's true, they were just basically designated for one another. Their parents had, it was a prearranged marriage. Okay, you have neighbors. You hear about these things. Fiddler on the Roof. Okay? This was Fiddler on the Roof. This was a pre-arranged marriage from childhood. This girl over here, she's gonna be my wife. Okay, it's not so far-fetched. I'm sure not that long ago in Jewish history, people, you know, you live a little shtetl, and he has a boy, he has a girl, the parents say, that's it, we're gonna commit ourselves.
It was done to provide security.
Security. It would probably for the boy also.
I want to bring a word here. The first word is tefillah. Tefillah comes from mishpat. And it's amazing. It's the amazing thing in this beginning. It says tzedek, and it says belos tzifte mirma milfanecha mishpati yetze. The mishpat here all over the place, and he is saying tefillah.
Excellent, Pilel. He's saying very good. There's a thrust. We have to keep that in mind in the entire mizmar. The entire mizmar, we have to remember that the word tefillah means judgment. Pilel. Pilel means judgment. It's another word for mishpat. And therefore, when we go through the entire mizmar, we're going to come across... Right. We're going to come across the word mishpat multiple times, and that it fits very well with the theme of what is taking place here. It's excellent. David is judging himself. David here in this mizmor acknowledges that he has committed a crime. Now here's what's fascinating. When you commit a crime, when you do an avera, you lose shemira. You lose siyata d'shmaya. David was frightened, not just for his reputation, not just because, you know, he's the melech, and there's going to be consequences for his malchus. Not just that, you know, the consequence of doing an avera brings with it punishment. David suffered his whole life from this. David suffered many different issues. All of these things are proper. An avera has consequences, but there is a problem, an immediate consequence. And this is powerful what it says over here. I have to show you the words inside. I think it's the Malbim, maybe. Okay, we'll see in a second. And that is, at this moment, there is a war taking place. Klal Yisrael at this moment is at battle. David is at home in his palace, and Yoav is fighting a war. There are people in the country have their young children out there right now in harm's way. They're fighting a battle. Every moment, missiles are falling. Rockets are being shot. It's a zman of sakana. David is the melech. David is the leader of Klal Yisrael. David acknowledges, I have done a terrible avera. Now the avera, you can say, koloi me David chata eine eletoya. Fine, whatever that means, it means. It's not an avera. But it is an avera. And David therefore realizes that being that I'm the melech of Klal Yisrael and I've done an avera, I'm afraid I will now be responsible for the death of young men on the battlefield. Because now, because of my avera, who I am, the melech of Yisrael, the siyata d'shmaya that we need at this moment to be victorious in this battle has been diminished. If it was just, you know, there's peace in the world, no, there's no wars in the world, everything is fine and good, and you know, olam kimin hagoy nohok, and I do an avera, no, ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yecheta. No, I did an avera. I'll do teshuva. I'll do the best I can. There'll be consequences. I will have to suffer the consequences. Okay, that's life. But right now is not the time to do an avera. Right now is a zman of sakana. Right now, everyone here in this community has a child, a grandchild, who's on the battlefield. We need every zuchus that we can find. And if someone sins, the consequences are enormous. The ramifications are enormous, because that means we're going to be missing siyata shmaya, and when the missile lands, someone is going to die. So David was frightened here, and this thing's going to come out. I'm in trouble now. I did an avera. You know, now is not a good time to do an avera. It's a zman of sakana. There's no leeway. And people are on the battlefield. And therefore, David here expresses a desperation for Hashem to at least, you know, don't take away the siyata d'shmaya that Klal Yisrael needs at this moment because of my avera. The avera is an avera. It has to be dealt with. If there's going to be punishment, so be it. But not now. Now, let us at least maintain the status quo, the siyata d'shmaya, to get through the war, and then we'll have accountability for what has happened. Okay, that's a very powerful concept, because we all know in our own lives, you know, when a person, there are events that are very dangerous, and things can go, you know, decisions are being made, and these are life-altering decisions. Person needs merit. Person there is very delicate situations. How many times have you heard stories about shidduchim? They're just about ready to close the shidduch, and then all of a sudden, the very end, the satan comes along, gets involved, and the shidduch is off. And then you look at someone else, and the same exact conditions, and they clinch it. Or you hear about, you know, all different types, every type of story. Should a person have surgery, should not have surgery? You know, these are very delicate moments, and no one really knows what the right thing to do is. And you need siyata d'shmaya. And you at these moments in time, you have to be on your best behavior. Klal Yisrael now is in the matzav of sakana. David here has done an avera. And the people at battle with Yoav, David's saying, you know what, I'm now going to be responsible for what's going on. Okay, I'll give you on Shabbos. I heard someone speak about the Super Bowl. Lahavdil Elif, how say Havdolis, with all of the exponents that are available. What? I have to show you something. I'll talk about it later on, I think. But on Shabbos there was someone spoke. Okay, so let's talk about the Super Bowl. So he said some really strange things, this guy. And he said that there was a certain kid who go to a Super Bowl party. He says he was always amazed. This person has a different background. He comes from a different background. Where part of his life, Super Sunday, whatever it's called, well, you know, it's a Yom Tov. You know, it's like a Yom Kippur. And you go to someone's house and you have a whole arrangement. And he says the people years back, the people that he was friends with, they would not let into their home to the Super Bowl party someone they felt was not holding where he should be. I mean, they maybe he's really rooting for the other team in his heart, and it might that a machshava ra. This is what he saw. If he has, let's say, friends, 25 friends, and he makes a big party, but he thinks there might be one of his 25 friends is sympathetic to the team that he does not want to win, okay, to the opposition, even though, yeah, he's cheering, but maybe there's some, in his heart, there's some sympathy, and that sympathy is going to cause his team to lose.
He's not the only one.
Really, you're 25 people, there are millions, millions and millions of people watching the Super Bowl, okay? Hundreds of millions of people, I don't know, hundreds of millions, but millions. You really think so highly of yourself that what's happening in your little room over here, your little cheder, you know, the machshav is going to have an effect on the outcome of the Super Bowl. Ad kedei kach. Superstitious that if this guy comes, you know, his machshava may cause something to happen that they're going to lose. Jigsaw, are you crazy? But these people, they really believe it. They really believe it. And the truth is, you know, something for the Super Bowl, it's probably shtus v'hevel. But in Yadus, there's something to it. Look, what's the biggest story? Chazal say this. Chazal say beferish. Chazal say the Kohen Gadol when he on Yom Kippurim when he left the Kodesh HaKodashim. He was what was he mispalel? Hashem, do not accept the prayers of the Oivrei Derochim. What does that mean? Klal Yisrael needs rain. As soon as Yom Tov is over, we're going to start saying on Zayin, Mar Cheshvan and Eretz Yisrael, Mashif, the same Tal Lumato Levracha. And we need the rain. If it's not going to be rain, it's going to be starvation. You know what's going to happen, Hashem? There's going to be a straggler who's going to stick around after Yom Tov because he wants to go sightseeing. He wants to go on some tours. He's going to wait until everyone else leaves. And then after everyone else, he's going to go home. And he's going to go home ready after Cheshvan begins. And he's going to get stuck on the road. It's going to be Zayin Mar Cheshvan. And Klal Yisrael is going to say the same Tal Lumato Livracha. And it's going to be good to rain. And this guy, who left very, very late because he wanted to go on some tours, he's going to be on the road in the middle of Saudi Arabia somewhere. He's going to be on the road somewhere. And it's going to be raining. He's going to get him, he's going to, Ribbono shel Olam, please save me. I need to get home. It's muddy. My chariot's going to get stuck in the mud. Please don't let the rain fall. And Hashem, you're going to listen to his prayer. He's one person, and there are millions of people that are in shul every morning. They're saying, Ta'alumato levracha. So the Kohen Gadol says to Hashem, Hashem, please do not accept the prayer of this one fellow who's on the road on Zayin Mar Cheshvan when Klal Yisrael says the same Talmud to the Bracha. So what does everyone ask? What is the Kohen Gadol need to be mispal to Hashem and Hashem should reject his prayer? It's one guy against millions. So what is the answer? He really means it. The millions of people who are in shul, they're just lip service. Just lip service. They're just saying Talmud Levracha. This fellow, it affects him. It's relevant. He's getting wet. He's suffering. He can't deal with it. When he davens, he feels the words. He means it. So therefore, Hashem's going to listen to him over the 1 million people. So there is something to it. You could have millions of people who watch the game who couldn't care less about the game. If you have a couple of groups of people, really means the world to them. Hashem pays attention to these people. It's not so crazy the concept. I mean, these people, who do they think they are? Hey, Mishugoyim. But the concept is a very true concept. David is the Melech of Klal Yisrael. It means something to him if Klal Yisrael, if they lose the war. Maybe for the guy, you know, us in America, what's going to be in the Ukraine, Russia? So, it can have cosmic consequences. It could escalate into who knows what. But most people, until it happens, what do I care? What do I care, right? What do I care? It's not my problem. It's not my problem. People who live there in their country, on the front lines, it affects them. Okay? It's a world of a difference. David is the Melech. This is my problem. This is my nation. This is my responsibility. It really matters to me. What's going to happen in this war? These are my men. This is my nation. And therefore, if I did an Avera, I got a problem. Because I need the Siyata D'Shmaya now, for real, to get through this situation. I have done an Avera, a severe Avera, in the middle of war. I'm concerned. Okay, this idea is a very powerful idea because it's very relevant to all of us. Because in our life, we all know there are different tkufas. There are days when we don't sense the sakana around us, and then there are days when we do, and when we do, we know we have to now be on our best behavior because we don't know what's coming. We have to be prepared. What's going to be? That is a major theme of this mizmor, at least according to some of the commentators. All right, right now I want to run through the mizmor very quickly with the mitzvah started, to get a flavor of what's going on, and then we'll go back and do with Rashi, and then we're going to go with the selected Mepharshim to bring out some of the Yisoides. Some of the really best stuff is the very end of the Mizmar, where it talks about the next world, or what the purpose of this world is. So let's run through it very quickly. Tfil David, Shema Hashem Tzedek, the three parts of this expression we'll go through. There's a lot of beautiful ideas over here, but let's run through it very quickly. Shema Hashem Tzedek, there are three expressions. Hashem, listen to righteousness. Hakshiva Rinasi. There are three words. Shema, to listen. Hakshiva, to hearken. And Hazina, to pay close attention. What exactly is the difference between these three words? We'll discuss later. Right now, we just have to appreciate that this poetic repetition, there are three expressions. Listen to what is right. Hearken to my song. And listen to, Hazina is another expression of listening to my prayer. Beloy Sifsei Nirma. And David is asking for assistance that my tefillah should be pure. There should not be any arrogance. I should not say something that is incorrect in my expression of prayer. The word tefillah is also going on the word biloy sifsei mirma. This is an incredible idea. The person has to daven to daven. This is what we do every single day. Hashem sifasai tiftach ufi agiti lasecha. A person has to daven that he should be able to daven. You pray to have success in prayer. On Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, the Shliach Tzibur, he begins with Hineni, He'oni, Mimas. The Shliach Tzibur, he prays that he should succeed in his prayer. Oichila, he prays that he should succeed. You pray to succeed in prayer. David is doing that here as well. Tefillah leDavid. There are really four expressions. He's praying that Hashem should listen to the tzedek, Hashem should listen to his rina, Hashem should listen to his prayer, and Hashem should help him that he should not say the wrong thing. We all know if you go for an interview and you say the wrong thing, you're finished. You can say all the right things. If you say, make one comment that gives away your ignorance, then it's all over. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool, then open it and remove all that. Okay, there's a time when a person better not what not to say. Let's see the mitzvahs. David, tzedek, tefillah hanemra, but tzedek of the kavanas aleim. So just another word over here, according to the mitzvahs, where tzedek is another word for prayer. A prayer that is said sincerely. Beloy hanemeres, it means it should not be said. Beloy sifse mirma, Hashem, please help me recite a prayer that does not include any nonsense, any deceit. Pasuk beis milufanecha mishpat yetzei, may it go out from before you, my mishpat. Einecha sechazena, may sharim, may your eyes, Hashem, see uprightness. May you see in me that I am an ish yashar, and thus you will accept my prayer. The avos, we begin our prayer. This over here, I'm suggesting, is the makar for what we say every single prayer. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called the Yisharim. Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar. Why is Chumash Bereishis, Alkein Kostab is Sefer HaYoshar? Why is Chumash Bereishis called Sefer HaYoshar? It is the Sefer of the Yisharim. This Mizmar is teaching us the nature of Tefillah. And in its revelation of what tefillah is, it says, Milufonecha mishpat yetzei. Tefillah indeed is mishpat, as Rav Kalman mentioned. And it says, Einecha sechazena nation, the first principle in tefillah, may Hashem, may you see the Yesharim. May you see us as being upright people. Who do we try to emulate?
In Sichas we say, this pasuk we say Sichor.
So here, but also in every Shemona Esrei opens up with Lokei Avraham, Lokei Yitzchak, Lokei Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Yesharim, and this is the Sefer HaYosha. Let's see the Mitzvus Pasuk Beis. Mishpatecha Yetzei Ritzin Olayma Lo Yisase Bibi Mishpat Haroi Al Ashmoisai Ki Re'ei Ma'aseh Yasharim Shasisi Lufin Shofteni. Hashem, do not look at my transgressions. Do not judge me according to my... Do not judge me with what I deserve. Instead, look for my merits. Look for the Ma'aseh Yasharim Shasisi. In fact, so recently, if a person is an Esara, he should enumerate his merits. Okay, that's an interesting idea. A person who really David, according to this mitzvah stuff, David here is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I have merits. I'm desperate. Look into the books. Look into my records. Purim is coming up. Purim. What happened in Purim? Mordechai. It was Balayilahu Nedarash Nasa Melech VaYomer LaHavi a Sefer HaZichroi Nois Devrei HaYomim. And Chazal tell us every time it says what Hamelech Hamelech refers to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And in the Megillah, in the Megillah, Mordechai, Hashem is looking at the Sefer HaZichroinus. And the Sefer HaZichroinus are the merits of Klal Yisrael. Don't punish us according to our evil deeds. Look for our merits. Pasuk Gimel. Bochanta Libi, you have tested my heart. Pokadata Laila, you have remembered me at night. Tziraftani, you have purified me. Or you have searched Baal Timsa. Unfortunately, you did not find what you're looking for. Zanloisi Baal Yavar Pi, my plans, may it not pass through your mouth. Now, this is a very hard passage to translate literally. It makes a lot better flavor when you learn the Medrash, which we'll do soon. But let's assume the basic Pshat, Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzvahs. Bochanta libi, lodas machshavosai vihishgachta bi balayla vihiyeis shemachashedes hodam tzilula. He's giving us a very powerful idea here. David is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you examine me. Hashem is the ultimate psychologist. Hashem, you are descending into the depth of my soul, into the depth of my mind, to analyze who I really am. When is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a person's neshama? It's an incredible idea. When he goes to sleep. When he's sleeping. Everyone asks the question, why is it that Hashem created the world, created man, in such a way that he needs to sleep? Why is that necessary? Why couldn't it be that Hashem made this world, man would operate 24/7? Even if it has to be, that Hashem wants to, that it should be dark, the sun will set. Hashem made a human being such that he needs to sleep. That's a very, we discussed many times. We know that Hashem never sleeps. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem never sleeps. The city that never sleeps. Hashem never sleeps. Man is created in the image of God. So why is it that a human being cannot survive without sleeping? Why? Why is it such a phenomenon? A person that needs 6 hours of sleep, 7 hours, 8 hours of, why is that so? It's a very tough question to answer. This pasuk to a degree provides that answer. And it says, Hashem judges a person every single day. We know in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah there are multiple layers of mishpat. Hashem judges a person, we know in Rosh Hashanah, once a year. There's mishpat when a person dies. There's mishpat in the next world, different tekufas, different stages of the next world in the future. And then the Gemara says there's a mishpat every month, once a month. And then there is a din of, there is a din of. And then there is a din of mishpat every single day. Every single day a person is judged. When does Hashem judge a person? He judges the person when he sleeps. Why? When? Because when he sleeps, that is when the person is in a state of where he, his mind is defining itself. Who am I? Who do I want to be? When a person is busy, he's doing things, not just because a person is doing averas, it doesn't mean that's who he really is. He's doing averus because of the circumstance.
When you're sleeping, you're not doing averus on mitzvahs.
You're not doing averus. It's more than that. When you're sleeping, you're subconsciously, your mind, you are defining who you really are. The day has passed. You've engaged in activities. You've done mitzvahs. You've made decisions to become a different type of person. And you've experienced different things, and now it's over. Now you're sleeping. Your mind now is collecting all of your life experiences, recalibrating. Who am I? Who am I? How have these events changed me? What is my perspective? What are my ambitions, my goals? It is the moment in time when a person is defining who he really is. That is when Hashem comes to judge him. So here's Bochanti Libi.
You know what it looks like somebody is in judgment in front of the judge, and he has to bring character witnesses. He's a nice guy, usually. No, but he did one mistake, a big mistake, but he did one mistake, he stole. But he's a good guy. Who is the character witnesses? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he greeted him, said, look at me, and you know me.
Exactly. You have to know who you a person needs to define who he really is. A person needs to be tested. There are many midrashim. But the mitzvah stuff is going very simple, and he's saying that over here, the moment when a person goes to sleep, this is when he defines who he really is, and that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu examines the person. Mitzvahs. Bochanta libi, lodas, machshavosai, to know my thoughts, vihish, gachta, you have looked upon me, balayla. Why night? Why at night are you coming to analyze my thoughts? Vihi eis, she machasheves adam tzilula, it is clear. Tziraftani, katsadeif hazel, like this purifier, a smelter. Hatsadeif kaspoi ladas hatavahi, to determine if it is pure or if it's full of impurities. Kain, bochanta oisi v'loi matzos sebi machasheves resha. David over here says, you have come, Raftani, you have come. It doesn't mean over here, mamash, that you have purified me. It means in this context, the mitzvah stuff is going off on a little bit of a liberal translation. You have come to, like a purifier, to make a determination are you pure or are you tainted? It's not that Hashem mamish tziraftani in the middle of the night that he's actually purifying me. You have come to examine me. You are the ultimate expert in determining if something is pure or tainted, and you have come to analyze and to make a determination. David, who are you really? You present yourself as being a tzaddik. Are you really a tzaddik? Or maybe there are some problems in your neshama. You have bochanto libi. You've come to test me. Pokadato laila. When did you come to test me, to make this and to analyze me at night? And now in a person's mind, a person is clear, his thoughts are clear because there are no distractions. And then siraftani, you have come to purify me, to make that determination if there are impurities. And guess what? I passed the test. Baal Timsa. Doug is very proud of himself. He's very bold. This is not for the faint of heart. David here says, according to the Mitzudas. Okay? The Midrashim do not say this. They say just the opposite. We'll see. But David, according to the Mitzudas, David over here is declaring with ultimate confidence, guess what, Hashem? I'm innocent. Baal Timsa. You're not going to find in my neshama one iota of anything impure. I have passed the test with flying colors. Baal Timsa. That's what it says over here. Kein b'chanto, I see. V'loy motzasa bi machasheves resha. Next words. Zamoisi. Machshavosai. The word zamoisi means a thought. We'll see later what it means. It's similar to a zam, according to the Malbum. We'll do the Malbum right now. What's the difference between a machshava? If you look over here who's the one that says this? I have to go look at my notes. There's a difference between the word machshava and the word this word zamoisi. It means a deep thought. It means a deep thought. A machshav means a superficial thought. The word zaymem, zaman is a much deeper thought. Deeper thought. Okay, zamoisi machshavosai einam oivrim al divrei pi. My thoughts are pure. They do not intend to transgress your sin, your mitzvahs. Ritzon eloymar kemachshavosai kein imrei pi. I'm not a phony. My thoughts are like what I say. My thoughts. I am a sincere person. There is no what I plan to do. What I say is what I do. I am not a faker. I am a good person through and through. So according to him, the Mitzvah of the Pasuk here means Milfanachem Mishmati. David over here is begging Hashem. Let's go back and read the Pasuk again. According to the Mitzvah of the Pasuk, Milfanachem. David over here says, "I realize Hashem, I got a problem, and I realize, but Hashem, please." Milfanecha mishpati yetzei. From before you, may my mishpat go forth for in positive. May I prevail in judgment. May you not bring upon me harm according to what I deserve. But instead, why not? Because I have merits. In the merits, in my good merits, that should save me. Einecha techezena meisharim. May your eyes, they only see the good in me. Hashem, remember all of my good deeds, and may my good deeds serve as a zuchus to protect me from any harm that would come from mishpat.
But this is a self-evaluation.
Yes, you're saying very good. You're saying very good. So what is how could
Hashem
a person?
Hashem is making a different value.
Oh, exactly. So first of all, you are correct. This is subject to interpretation. This is what the Mitzvah David says. And obviously, the other commentators that disagree with the Mitzvah, a person should not be so confident, but according to the Mitzvah David, this is exactly what it means. That a person is teaching you a lesson that a person should be confident. Exactly. That's exactly the attitude that a person should have when he goes to a mishpat. If a person comes to the judge and he says, Ribbono Nishal Olam, I'm a Rasha. Just take my neshama. Let's get it over with already. Take me. Send down the bolt of lightning. Take away my money. Destroy me. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Is that really what Hashem wants? Hashem wants a person to be confident. You have to know you did an avera. And that's right. That's a problem.
But even people who commit bad things are very confident.
Well, that's no good. There is a balance. David over here, according to the Mitzvah David, is presenting a person, teaching a person, when you come to Mishpat, humble yourself. But walk into court with confidence. with an optimistic outlook that you're a good person. Don't look at yourself as a shmata. You know, in before World War II, there were two major yeshivas. There was Navardik Mahalik and there was the Slobodka. Two very different worlds. What was the difference between the Talmidim, the school? They were both Musar yeshivas. Both of them were focused on Musar. But there was a very different nuance. In Slobodka, they emphasized man is great. You should dress well. You should walk with your nose up in the air. I don't mean like that, but you should live life with confidence and look at the greatness of man. There should be dignity, happiness. You should dress well, live a good life. In the Vardik, the attitude was a person is a nothing, is a piece of garbage. One of the exercises they would do in the yeshiva, supposedly, is Talmidim would be told to go, let's say, go to the bakery. Could I please have some nails and lumber? Imagine going to the bakery in the afternoon, going to the calves, go to the counter on Friday when everyone is there, everyone's buying challahs, and say to them, can you please give me some nails, some screws, and throw in a hammer and a screwdriver, please?
That's
so you say that in front of the woman behind the counter, and everyone, well, on Friday afternoon, with everyone there, and they'll look at you, they'll start laughing, and make with sonnets, are you retarded? We sell here challahs, we sell bread, we don't sell here nails and screwdrivers. So in Narvardit, they would tell the Talmidim to go and do this. Why? Humiliate yourself. It's good for your neshama to feel that humiliation. You're just a piece of garbage anyway. What are you? A person has to humble himself before God. The way you do that is you have to learn how to humiliate yourself. And when you finish going into the bakery, then go to the lumber store, Erev Sukkos, when everyone is running around, and go to the person behind the counter and say, can you please give me three challahs? Three challahs and some sponge cake. Okay? This was the exercise in the Vardik. And you're just like a schlump, and you sleep on the floor with the cockroaches. You have to humble yourself. David over here is promoting the Slobodka approach. By the way, all of the yeshivas in America that were built after the war were all built, came on every single yeshiva, except for the one Avenue M over here around the corner, the Vardik around the corner, was built by students of Slobodka. All of the yeshivas that flourished post-war in America were all students of the Slobodka approach, Gadlus Ha'adam, the greatness of man. Interesting. And here, David HaMelech, Mr. Marillus, we on the mark. According to the Mitzvah David, Hashem, I have a lot of merits. I'm a great person. I've done a lot of good in my life. And that should count for something. That should count for something. I did chesed, I gave tzedakah, I daven, I learn. That should count for something. And therefore, I'm entitled to have a good life. Bochanta libi.
I'm saying here that Pasuk Aleph is listen to my tefillah. Pasuk Bet, Gimel, and Dalet, who am I? The tefillah starts only in Pasuk A.
Okay.
Up to here is that introduction. Who am I?
All right. Okay. These are very deep ideas. Let's go through some of the psukim. Okay, you're right. There's a lot, there are many, many, many different parts. There are many different parts over here to what David, if you put it composite, what exactly David is doing. There's a Seder HaTefillah. There is a Seder HaTefillah. You have to first have an introduction. You have to recognize who is Hashem, who are you, what are your needs. And there has to be praise, there has to be a thank you. There are many different components. This Mizmar is saying, is obviously, because it begins with the word Tefillah, LeDavid, it is defining the formula and the components of a healthy tefillah. Right, okay, Pasuk Gimel, Bochanta Libi, David over here is very confident, according to the Mitzudot David. Hashem, you've tested me. Pokadeta Laila, you came to visit me in the middle of the night when my mind is clear to analyze who I really am. And at that moment in time, you Tziraf Tani, you have searched for impurities in my neshama. And guess what? Baltimsa, you found nothing. Therefore, and not only that, Zamosi, I'm a pure, sincere person. My thoughts, Bal Yavar Pi, do not transgress what comes out of my mouth. Piv V'Liboy Shavin. My heart and my mouth are in sync. Whatever I say I'm going to do, I do. I don't pretend to be who I am not. Next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Lif ulois adam bidvar sifasech ani shamarti orches poritz.
Rav Kalman said exactly that.
You machave into Rav Kalman mentioned right before you came. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Good. Oh, it's good. It's good. Pasik gimel in the Mitzudas David. Pasik Dalet. Lif ulois mashet zivisa. What you have commanded. Bidvar sevasechem al pulois adam es hamaseh asher yaseh. Orchais parutz. Now he's getting a little bit complicated over here. Orach haparutz v'hehorus hamavatel orach hamitzvos. The ways of the wicked. The parutz means a person who demolishes the order of this world. Hine ani shemartiv livli teis lemi lelechetz bo levatel orach hamitzvah. I prevented people from going down this path. David over here is coming over here to go and promote himself. He's presenting his resume, and he is stating the pu'ulois adam bedvar sevasecha, the actions. Hashem, you bedvar sevasecha means your words. We have to read the words backwards as we always do. Hashem, you gave us the Torah. In the Torah, there are 613 mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs were commanded with your lips. It came forth from your lips, Hashem, the commandments. The commandments here are referred to with the code words. Lipu'ulois adam. What man should do. Pu'ula means an action. Adam of man. The actions that man should engage in were commanded to us by Bidvar Sifosecha. You, Hashem, your lips gave forth instructions as to how man should behave, how he should conduct himself. Regarding those commandments that came out of your mouth, ani shamarti, I obeyed. I'm a good soldier. Not only did I obey, orchois poritz. Now this is a little complicated how he says, how did I obey? Because the word shemira doesn't just mean to guard. Shemira means to make sure other people guard. I made sure that what came out of your mouth was guarded by people who would otherwise disobey. The last two words, a little bit of a twist. Orchos parutz, back to the mitzudos. Orchos, oirach, the way. Haparutz vehehorus. We had that word in the Haftarah this past Shabbos. The ones that are parutz, the ways of those who are corrupt, who break down the orders of the world. There are certain morals, ethics, standards, who crazy people are attempting to demolish. They're coming to demolish. Though I, oirach hamitzvah, they're trying to demolish the ways, the proper way of your commandments. Hine, the mitzudos David, because of this difficult pasuk, is adding, embellishing the pasuk with many words. Hine, behold, ani shemartiv. I guarded your ways, livli, teis, lemi, leleches boi, levatel arecha mitzvah. To prevent those people who want to go in that path, I made sure they did not go off the derech. I made sure that the road was...
Or at least didn't cause other...
Did not cause other. Libli, lemi, leleches, levilti, teis, lemi, leleches boi, Levatel, the people who go down that path, Levatel, to annul the Oirach HaMitzvah. The Poritz are the people who are corrupt. I guarded the good people from the corrupt people. Okay, it's a very hard pasuk. Let's review the pasuk again in the outside.
This phone is explained nicely. He called himself, Ani Paratzti. I made a mistake. My mistake is, Vas Patecha, you said lo tachmod eshet re'echa, ve'ani paratzti et ha'chok hazeh. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know. I was very honest. This is one mistake that I did. It's interesting.
The word parts. Okay, the word parts is a very hard word. At least according to the pshat. We'll see in the medrash. But according to the pshat, let's just review the pshat. These psukim, you cannot translate the words in order. You have to take the words. It's like a puzzle. Take one word and reorder the words. Davro here is saying is, first of all, let's start from the middle of the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it came forth from your lips, the Dvar Sifo Secha, commandments, how to live your life. Pu'ulois Adam. B'Dvar Sifo Secha, through your commandments, came forth mitzvahs, which are called the Pu'ulois of Adam. Hashem, I'm a good guy. I guarded these mitzvahs. Not only did I guard these mitzvahs personally, I guarded Orchois Paritz, that the people who go on a way of corruption, there are people out there in this world that are thoroughly corrupt. Their entire oirach, their entire path of life is to destroy. There is a koyach in this world of rishus, of chorbin. I guarded the dvar sifasecha lepu'ulas adam from the people who go on an oirach of paritz to make sure they don't damage your commandments. David views himself, his role as a melech, as a protector, a defender of Hashem's ways. In this, we always mention this, in the state of Israel, the prime minister, Netanyahu, no longer the prime minister, but he always used to say, what is the primary role of the prime minister of Israel? You can't necessarily say this in other countries. It is my primary role to defend this state, to protect it, to defend the people living from our enemies. That's my objective. We're not trying to colonize the world. We're not trying to make money. We're not trying to influence the world. We live in a very dangerous neighborhood. And the goyim don't like us. That's really what Netanyahu was saying. Halacha biyodua esav seinei Yaakov. We have a little piece of land, and my goal over here is just to protect the people living here and let them live their lives. Now, take that concept. That's a very Jewish concept. Take that concept and give it some Yiddishkeit. Give that concept a little bit more Yiddish flavor. David is the Melech of Klal Yisrael, and he's saying, what is my role? My role is to protect my people, to allow them to live, to mimikayim the Taryag mitzvahs. There's a world out there, and they're bent on preventing any living person in this world from being an observant, a servant of Hashem. That's the way it is. Go look what's going on in this country. People have some of the elements of the extreme left in this country. Their entire desire is to prevent the whole country from continuing to go in a path, you know, a traditional path of certain values and morals that society has, to want to rip down these values. David says, it is my mission to guard our tradition, to guard and to preserve, defend, to protect the words that have come out of your mouth, that have commanded man how to conduct his life. I am a guardian of that way of life from these crazy mishugoyim out there who go on an oirach, a path of destruction. Next pasuk. The next pasuk, this is a very beautiful pasuk. Very beautiful pasuk. Tamoich, here you have some really good vocabulary. Really good, nice vocabulary words. Tamoich ashurai. Okay, this is not ashrei. This is, but the words are related. And this, in fact, every time you have a word that has the same letters as another word, it's not a coincidence. There always has to be a very significant relationship between words that are completely different but share the same letters. Support my footsteps. Okay, the word ashray, bimag, bimagilosecha, on your path. Bal nomoitu po'omoi, so that my feet should not falter. Each one of these words in this pasuk is jam-packed with machshav drush symbolism. Okay, the first is support. That's a very important word. Ashuray, my footsteps. Okay, we have to discuss that. If you look over here for a moment, the Mincha Shai says, on the very bottom over here, on the next page, page 133, Ashuray, yesh sefarim t'mech ashuray. No, that's not what I was looking for. Okay, that's not what I was looking for. I made a mistake. Maybe it was another word. Okay, let's leave for that for a moment. Okay, b'magiloy secha. What is a magal? It means a service road. There is the highway, there's the derech. The derech is like, you know, on Ocean Avenue, Ocean Parkway. You can go down the big highway, three lanes. And then there is the service road. B'magiloy secha is the service road. It's a small road on the side that leads to, when you get off the main highway, David says, you supported my footsteps when I traveled on the small service roads. Yeah. What about on the big highways?
Yeah,
it also says, okay. Bal namotu famoy, so that my feet should not falter. I should not fall down, break my ankle, or injure myself. So I'll just tell you, Bekitzanim, it's the beautiful Malbum. And he basically says is that most of the world goes down the highway. And the highway leads you to nowhere. It's the highway is a world of Gashmias, Taiva, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Tanim. Klal Yisrael doesn't travel down that road. They travel on a small little path. Why is it only a small little path? Because very few people go down that path. If the world has 8 billion people and only 15 million of them are Jews, so when you spend money on infrastructure and you pave the roads, you're not going to go pave the little dirt roads that no one travels on. You pave the roads, you make the roads nice and beautiful and wide for the roads that the whole world travels on. Most of the world is traveling down the path of emptiness, of gashmius, of taiv, of covered money, and only Klal Yisrael travels down a different path of life, of Torah mitzvahs. And a life of Torah mitzvahs is not very popular because it comes with a lot of sacrifice. And if it's not popular, it's not well funded. If it's not well funded, it's not smooth, it's not clean, it's not well lit, it's not well maintained. It's a difficult dirt road. Doesn't have a lot of good signs to guard you, and you need a lot of help because it's not the common path that the rest of the world is traveling on. And therefore, David says, you have supported my footsteps. You helped me get down this very difficult road, b'magiloy secha, specifically this narrow path in this world, and that I should not, pomoy, that my steps should not falter. We have to know,
Is it talking about the halakha? I go according to halakha, which is halakha zelalechet. So I always help me to preserve the halakha.
I'm just saying very simple. Just saying, this is a drush. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs. Let's look at the mitzvahs, David. Tamoich samoich raglai lalechas b'nisiv ha'secha b'chdei shlo yimadu l'nifal ha'shana shana fall down. Pasuk vav. Ani kerasicha ki saneni kel. I called out to you so that you should answer me. Hat oznecha, turn, tilt. Hat means to bend. Oznecha li shma imrasi. Listen to my words. Mitzudas ki saneni ki yodati shetani. I know you will listen to me. Pasuk zayin. Haflei chastecha. This is another very powerful pasuk. Haflei means make wondrous. David wants, he wants explosives. I don't just want you to answer me. I want the world to talk about it. I want it to be wondrous. I want the miracles that you do for me to be on the front page of all of the MSN, the mainstream media, MSN, the mainstream. I want the world to see and recognize the miracles that you've done for me. Haflei make wondrous chasodach, your kindness. Moshiach, save choisim, save those that seek refuge. The word chosen means people who are yearning for your salvation. Those from those from the enemies. Who are the enemies? Those that rise up b'minecha along your right side. Let's see the Mesudos. You, Hashem, you bring salvation to those that seek refuge in you. Separate or your kindness Okay, over here you think of something very important, and I didn't translate correctly. Those that rise up, the word b'minecha, the mitzvah stuff over here is translated in a very unique way. It means against your right hand. The yamin of Hashem represents Hashem's will. The yamin of Hashem means there are people over here. We were describing enemies. The enemies of the Jewish people are rising up against Hashem's right side. The right side of Hashem means Hashem's will. Hashem wants that the world should be good, that the Jewish people should prevail, they should be mekayim Hashem's mitzvahs. There are enemies out there in this world who are rising up against Hashem's rotzon. Hashem, do wondrous miracles, save those people who seek refuge in you from those evildoers who are rising up against your essence, your will, your right hand. So the word b'minech means against your right hand. Now, one of the midrashim in this pasuk, which really makes it very, very beautiful, in this pasuk is the word hafle was used in last week's parasha. V'niflinu ani v'amecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was mispalel to Hashem after, when Hashem told him the Yud Gilmi Sarachim, he was mispalel, one of the prayers that he was mispalel was v'niflinu ani v'amecha. What does that mean? He begged Hashem, do not be mashre hishchina on the Umay Soilam. It's a very, very complicated sugya. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu demand from Hashem that he should not bestow his divine presence on the Goyim? And Hashem gave it to him. Only we should be unique. Before Matan Torah, it's an incredible thing, and Hashem rested his divine presence upon the Jewish people. He gave us the Torah. At that moment in time when Hashem gave us the Torah, it could still have been, and in any generation, if the non-Jews would behave themselves and would observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noyach, their leaders and their nation would also receive a dosage of Ruach HaKodesh, of Kedusha. So you would have in this world Klal Yisrael, upon whom Hashem has rested the bulk of his divine presence in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah is resting in its glory. But you know, in America, there's also Shekhinah among the Goyim. The Goyim will have their own religion, they'll believe in God, and they'll have prophets, and will teach them a way of life, it will be a watered down, a significantly watered down version of Judaism. And you go to Australia, they'll have their religion. And you go to Canada, their religion. And you go to New Zealand, they'll have their. You like the different countries I'm giving over here? They'll have their religion. Hashem will be mashre his Shekhinah upon the Umay Sa'olam on their level. But a real degree of Ruach HaKodesh, not a make-believe.
Sort of a Hirsch type.
This was the original plan. Hashem came down Har Sinai. He offered Kol HaTorah Kula to the entire world. There were no takers. The only one that was willing to be Mekabel Taryag Mitzvahs was Klal Yisrael, Nasa V'Nishma. Hashem came down on Har Sinai and gave Kol HaTorah Kula to Klal Yisrael. But that did not close the door to the other nations in the future of them also being worthy of receiving a degree of Ruach HaKodesh.
There would be no evil?
No, of course there would be evil. There's evil in us. There's evil among the Jewish people, there's evil. There's always evil. Evil ki yetze leiv ha'adam rak ra kol hayoyim. Evil will always be.
The system can't work
out. There's always going to be evil. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan was to give Klal Yisrael the Torah. And he did. And he was Mashre the Shekhinah. We all have a sense of what that means. And the Ummah Yisraelam, they blew it. They lost out. But not totally. At some point in time in the future, if they would raise themselves with a degree of morality and they would pray to God, Hashem would inspire them, would give them Ruach HaKodesh, they would have amongst themselves leaders, religious leaders. They're not going to be like Klal Yisrael, but on their level. And it would be real. It would be real. After the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael was vulnerable. Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Hashem came that close. And Moshe was mispalo. Mocheni na misifrecha. Hashem told Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And this is something which has to be defined, which I don't, it's too deep to fully understand what this really means. But Moshe Rabbeinu sensed that because Klal Yisrael now are, because of the Chet HaEgel, are vulnerable, if Hashem will still allow the Umayis HaOilam to receive a real degree of Ruach HaKodesh, that would be a sakana to Klal Yisrael. Because if they would get their Kedusha at some point in time on their level, and we, because we worship the Egel, are vulnerable, it wouldn't be good for us. It would be extremely dangerous. So Moshe was mispalel, v'niflinu ani v'yamecha, do not bestow upon the nations of the world at any point in time in history, at any degree, any mashu of Ruach HaKodesh. And Hashem says, okay. So that means today there is no such thing amongst the Ummah Yisraelam of Shekhinah. No such thing. They may preach love and unity and solidarity and God. Okay, good. It's very good to have some good morals and some values in life. But there is no such thing amongst the Ummah Yisraelam, no such thing as Ruach HaKodesh. No, sir. Oh, you'll say, what about Bilam? So Rashi, on the spot, Rashi Mamish, on the Pasuk in Lishik's Parasha, says, Bilam, that's not called Ruach HaKodesh. Hashem just, well, he was a mouthpiece. He was a mouthpiece for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not what it means, Shekhinah. That doesn't mean, don't get confused with Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not. Why? For our benefit, so we should survive. In the Medrash over here, in the Mefarshim over here, they connect that word v'niflinu to the word haflei. This is exactly what David here is being mispal on his level. David here is just mimicking the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. David here is saying, Hashem, I'm a good person, and therefore I'm making demands of you, Hashem. I'm making demands. I'm demanding haflei chasodecha. I demand that you make a separation between us and them, us and our enemies. Do wondrous things. The word haflei is a code word. It is a reserved word, which means for us, rest upon us, rest your divine presence, but do not rest upon the Ummah Yisraelam, your divine presence. Make this separation. The word haflei is a code word to trigger what Moshe said in last week's parasha, v'niflinu ani v'yamecha. There should be a fundamental difference between us and them. Upon us, rest your divine presence, and do not rest upon them, your divine presence, because now that we have sinned with the Egel, we are vulnerable. If they're going to have divine presence, and we are going to be in a weakened state of not having divine presence, even though the divine presence they're going to have is going to be a mashu of what we ordinarily have, it will still be lethal to us. It's bad enough that they hate us. It's bad enough that they're wicked. But if you're going to add, you're going to give their hatred and their jealousy for us a potency of they having Shekhinah, and us not having the Shekhinah, we're finished. And therefore, v'niflinu ani v'yamecha, give us the Shekhinah only, then never ever give them divine presence. Never give them Shekhinah. And that's what it's over here, haflei chasodecha, make your kindness wondrous. Meaning, give us Shekhinah. Do not give them Shekhinah. Moshiach chaysim, save the Jewish people by only giving us Shekhinah and not them, me, Miskoimimim, again to protect us from the evil people who rise up b'minecha against you. B'minecha is a very difficult word. The Mitzvah says b'minecha basically means Hashem. It is a word that is being used here in this pasuk to define Hashem. There are many words in Tanakh that are words. There's all the shemes of Hashem, right? We have all of Hashem's names.
I think it's not in order. Hat oznecha, kafle chasadecha moshchia chosim bimimecha mimikomimim.
No, so that's not what it says. That's another pshat. Okay, that's another pshat. But that's not what the mitzvah is saying. You're saying a nice pshat, but that's not what the mitzvah says. The mitzvah says b'minecha means against you. Against you. I hear what you're saying. You're saying a different. You're saying that you take the word b'minecha and put it before those people who are chosim b'minecha, who seek refuge in your right hand. Hashem, protect these people from the miskoimimim, period. Right, that's a beautiful shot. I like it. I'm with you. But that's not what the mitzvah says. Right now we're doing the mitzvahs. The mitzvah says that the word b'minecha is a code word for Hashem, and the beis means those who rise up against Hashem. Look at the mitzvahs. The mitzvah says, la'sois mul ritzoinecha. Labal, then he goes back to explain. Mul. There are many words in Tanakh that are metaphors for Hashem. We have the seven main shemos of Hashem. And then we have multiple expressions which are used to refer to Hashem. This word here is a code word for Hashem. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We'll do tomorrow. It's right there. And then I want to learn this week about Shabbos. Parashas Vayakel begins with Shabbos. There's an excellent article in the RJJ Journal about the laws of making coffee on Shabbos. All this is from Rabbi Leibowitz, the famous Rabbi Leibowitz, of Arya Leibowitz, very, very chashuv Talmud Chacham. He put a fantastic article. I want to discuss some of the ideas that he brings up.